everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. And for all of you who might be just joining us here at the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, let me just state the following. We are a geek podcast, despite what the name of our podcast is. We cover all things geek. And that being said, we are returning to the Eastern Panhandle Paracon panel series that we've kind of been doing off and on for the past couple of weeks or so, ever since the Eastern Panhandle Paracon. They were so lovingly to have us at that show, allow us to record all of the panels over the weekend and take photos, take videos, and so forth and so on. And this week's episode is, or at least this week's panel episode, is investigating the haunted Shenandoah Valley. And the presenter's name is Joe Sandy. And the links to his organization, which is, I think, the Shenandoah Area Paranormal Society or something like that. Links are in the description of the episode. And I think if there's a Facebook page, or a website, they will be in the description of the episode. And all that being said, let me go into the kind of the disclaimers. And the disclaimers are, as always, number one, we do not own any of this person's content. We got permission to share their content with all of you. We do not own up to their content, meaning that we're sharing their content. We're giving it to all of you who are not able to be there. It's their opinions, their investigations. We are not laying claim to any of this whatsoever. Even though it is content for our show, we are not laying claim to it. This is their presentation that they did at this show. And we just want to say that for complete clarification. We will make an attempt to contact Mr. Sandy and let them know that their panel is finally posted. And that way they could share it around to everybody. And so they know and everything else. But that's that. And the second thing I want to disclose with all of you, as I've done with previous panel episodes from the Eastern Panhandle Paracon, I've been getting tongue-tied saying the name, but that is what I've done in regards to editing the episode. And other than a little bit standard boosting so you're able to hear some of it better, I think there was an instance or two the presenter kind of walked away from all the microphones, so he spoke loud enough that you were able to hear what I boosted overall, but cutting out wise, I think because I initially edited this episode prior to Otacon, I think I took out about maybe 2 minutes worth of content, three tops, only because, again, there was a couple of instances where questions and comments were done from the audience, and he answered them away from all the PA system microphone and all that, so all that had to be trimmed out, and you would never have heard that anyway, because, again, where these panels were done, the building was maybe about 2 football fields in length, both ways. It was square, so the noise after a certain spot kind of just dropped off dramatically, and there was no hope for rescue unless you projected your voice. So that's that. Other than that, he gives great content. That's it. I think we might have two episodes from Saturday, and another three, maybe five more episodes coming out for the whole panel. So stay tuned. October might be filled with panels up until the end of October. So it gives October a nice Halloween feel to it. So that's good. Good chance this upcoming Saturday we will be at the 4-State Punk Rock Flea Market. So that's Saturday, September 8th. I might have to bribe somebody to get me up there, gas money or something. And hopefully we'll get some interviews and that fun jazz there. If not, I'll try to supplement that content for all of you. But that's it. I'll see you, all of you, on the other side of this particular panel. And the panel starts right about now. By the way, I almost forgot, and I do apologize. And that is the fact that I left the promoter's intro to the panel in on this, simply for because it kind of flowed, so I left that in for all of you. So again, here is the panel right about now, right here.
Alrighty then, at this time I'd like to introduce Joe Sandy, founder of Shenandoah Area Paranormal Society. SAPS for short.
Really?
And he's going to talk about their experiences of investigating the haunted Shenandoah Valley.
I don't think I need the step.
Oh, that's fun.
Hi, how is everybody doing today? Doing good? So let's touch on the name a little bit. It has two meanings for us. Our business cover is, if you see on my shirt, it's a tree with the vines growing up it. It has two different meanings. I picked that because of the sap of life that flows through the trees. I'm Native American. I'm connected to all nature. Fit well with that. The other reason I chose the anagram was because we're all just a bunch of saps for believing this crap. Is what we get no matter where we go. So it fits both ways. It's just a little play on words. So with SAPS Paranormal, we're a paranormal investigation group that... can you hear me? She seems to be struggling a little bit. Is that better? Okay, good. We investigate areas in the Shenandoah Valley and beyond. We've been called up to New York, to Massachusetts. I've even done on my own some places in Europe, but that's just in my own personal travel, so I always try to squeeze something in there. I'm a psychic sensitive. We were just talking about how, even though I've been doing it for like 20 years now, we still don't know where we're getting this from, and I love to hear the validation of it because I'll be talking and it's spirit talking through me. We help people. I feel that my gift came from God. And it is a gift to share. So I don't charge for helping. If people are having experiences in their own homes and they're uncomfortable in their own homes, I feel it's a privilege to go in there and give them back the peace of their own home. So we do things on donations if we do houses and stuff like that, just to replenish items we might use, like sages and stuff for smudging and stuff like that. We're looking to find the truth. We're not always out there looking to just find evidence. That's not really what it's about. We want to be able to get something that you cannot prove is something else. So you watch a TV show sometimes and they're getting evidence everywhere they go, but it's totally different in real life. You can be somewhere for 16 hours and not get one thing. And then you can be somewhere for 16 minutes and it just explodes. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing it. The team, it consists of myself. We have Terry Ray, who's running the booth over there right now. I got Allison. She's one of my investigators. You've got Mama Linda and Chris Simpson, who are not able to be here. They're more of our senior members. Mama Linda's just a powerhouse. She's amazing. You've got Velvet Robinson. And you've got Scott. And then I have two group members that are in the Richmond area, Stephen and Marcy. Yeah, we covered that one. So we're just going to go over some personal experiences today. This is out behind the Wayside Inn. If you notice the background picture, is there a way to go back to where just the background picture is? Yeah. So this background picture, I was outside of the Wayside, and I sensed that there was an encampment of Civil War soldiers out in some tall weeds. My non-believer on the group at that time, he says, "Oh, you know, I don't believe in this stuff," and he walked straight in, just totally disregarding what I was telling him. He got into the center of the encampment. There was a campfire going on, and all of a sudden he saw this mist forming to his right, which I believe to be a Civil War soldier manifesting to get him out of the encampment. He had the wherewithal to snap the picture. He turns around to leave the field, and if you talk to him, he calmly walked out of the field. If you talk to me, he had a code brown, and he was running, as you'll see in the next picture. And there he is. If you look closely at the picture, and y'all can come up here and get closer to the thing because some of the pictures blend into the background, just if you want to come up, or I can show you on my cell phone after the speech. If you look closely in the picture, he's in focus. All the tall grasses are in focus around him. But you'll see the mists, and that to me indicated the spirits rising up to try to get him out of there in conjunction with the mists of the soldier that he captured. That's my take on it. Y'all can give me feedback on your take on it. I love feedback. Then we did Paxton Manor in Leesburg, Virginia. It's a great location. I love the location because they do charge fees for renting it, like a lot of the properties we investigate, but all the fees go back towards the nonprofit organization to help learning disabled children. I like to go to locations that support things like that. This is my group member, Scott. He was up on the third floor. We had the thermal imaging camera. And if you look closely, you can see a handprint of one of the spirits on his shoulder. And I'll go over here and point it out to you. So that's just one of the evidences we had. The Wayside Inn in Middletown, Virginia. If you haven't been there, go. Extremely active. Every time I go in there, I'm never disappointed. When I have people come to me and say, "I've never had an experience, I really want to have an experience," this is where I take them. Not only because it's 6 minutes from my house, which, yay, but it never fails. And they have good food. They got a new chef right now. Spot on. So if you look in this picture to the right, this was taken by a person I was giving a private tour of who had never had an experience in their life. She wanted to have an experience, so I took her there. This is in the ladies' card room, which the ladies' card room has mirrors on all the walls. You're going to have to get close with this one because it sort of fades into the background. And I've got a printed picture of it out at my booth if you want to stop by there and take a closer look, or I can pull it up on my cell phone for you. If you look at it, I wonder how long that cord is. I don't think I can take it with me, but I'll just yell. You look closely, most people focus and they see the one thing immediately, which is right here. Does anybody see that? Can you see it clearly enough? It looks like a toddler standing there. And you'd be correct. That is a toddler. But if you look into it more in depth, you'll see mom's head, her shoulders, her waistline, and then her dress billowing out when the toddler's standing in the folds of mom's dress. And that was taken by that person who had never had an experience, had never believed, had always wanted to have experience, and she gave it to me to use and gave me permission to use it. This next one is the Wayside Inn still. This is inside the slave kitchen. There is a, or I should say indentured servant's kitchen. It used to be its own freestanding building, but with the additions of the inn over the years, it got enclosed into a room inside of the inn. This window here is extremely popular. I've gotten more photos of spirits in that window than I have gotten evidence through the entire inn. If you look in the upper left-hand corner pane, and you'll definitely need to stop by the booth to see the picture a little closer because it's not really clear. It would fade out if we made it any bigger. Again, and I call this Proud Mama. It's on my website. If you look right here, you see the fat, chubby cheeks and the eyes of an infant. If you look here, you can see the arm of its mother holding it up to present the infant to us. And it's more clear in the pictures that I have out there that are in print. It's more clear on the website. We also got a picture in the opposite window pane 1 week later of a trench coat dressed gentleman with ruffles around his shoulder, and he's believed to be a coachman, which fits perfectly in there because there's a brick floor right outside of the slave kitchen where the coaches used to pull up and drop off guests to the inn and drop them off, so it's called Coachman Alley. And he appeared in the window a week later, and we got that evidence in that same window 1 week later. This one is going to be super hard to see, so see me afterwards. I've got it on my cell phone, and you can see it really clearly there. Animal spirits. There's a lot of talk back and forth whether or not they exist. I'm a full believer they exist. In Native American culture, we believe that everything has a spirit. And everything should be respected. This is a picture I took again out in the field behind the Wayside Inn. Allison and myself were out there one night just getting an investigation, and I felt the spirit making contact with me, and I snapped a couple pictures in the direction of where I felt the spirit from. It's circled again, it fades out in the background with all the lighting and everything. But definitely come up to me after the talk, and I will point it out to you. But in the picture, right around in here, you can clearly see the image of a wolf that is baying. And I circled it in this picture. That's the only altering or editing I did to the photograph. I lightened it up a little bit so the image could come back in. I don't do Photoshop. I don't know how to do that stuff. Technology annoys me. That's why I have Scott. He's my tech guy. So, yeah, definitely animals do exist, and I'll make it a point to come around to each of you and pull the picture up on my cell phone so you can get a better view and judge for yourself. This leads into Miss Allison's portion of this. Go ahead and hit it one more game. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but in Bluemont, Virginia, on Route 7 at the top of the mountain, 1976, I believe it was, 74, a TWA Flight 714 crashed into the top of the mountain, killing all 96 passengers on the plane. The plane completely disintegrated on the mountaintop. It was a mess. They don't have a marker there. They don't have anything honoring the past souls that are still on that mountaintop. There are continuous reports to the police of a man in uniform walking down the street at night. And he is known to be the pilot of the flight, wandering and looking for help. There are reports, and I have heard them myself, of just eerie screams in the middle of the night. You can hear the passengers screaming to this day up on there. We went up to the crash site to investigate. I became so psychically overwhelmed that I nearly passed out. That's never happened to me. I was overwhelmed by all of them because they are forgotten souls. People don't go up there and visit them. They don't go up there and honor them. We were there. There was a hole in the ground. I was showing this picture to my best friend, Bruce, over there, non-believer, total non-believer. I thought nothing of it, and he said, "Did you not see the face in the leaves?" So if you take a close look at this, it's private property. Had a sign made up, dedicated the sign, explaining the site. We placed the sign up there. One day later, the property owner contacted us and demanded we remove the sign honoring the souls. They want nothing to do with it. The piece of property is for sale, and they're hoping that someone builds a house on it and is happily living there. Never going to happen. There is still fragments that we have found of the passengers on the flight. Half shoes, eyeglasses, pieces of the plane, window frames of the plane, just laying on the ground up there, completely forgotten. So if you get a chance, there's a documentary on it. It's called Flight 514. Watch the documentary. It is extremely interesting what's up there. If you're up there driving on the road sometime, just drive past, say a prayer for them. It'd be appreciated to have them remembered. And this is the part where my counterpart, Allison, is going to come up and tell a little story of why I love to have novice investigators on the team.
Okay, so this picture is something that I have become the laughingstock of since the day that I shared it with Joe. And I have a t-shirt of it. It's in the books. So what you're looking at here is my excitement for my very first investigation. What happened was, this was also at TWA. Actually, it was a friend of mine and I decided that one night we were bored and we were going to go back up there. Joe was not with us. I called Joe and I said, hey, me and Christine want to go up to TWA. Do you think it's a good idea? He was like, well, okay, you know. I'm like, well, what do I do? So he tells me what to do. So her and I are all excited and we're going up there. We only have our phones. We get up there at night, and I will tell you, the feeling of that place at night is completely different than what you feel during the day. When you're there during the day, it's very light. It's very kind of peaceful. When you go at night, it's very heavy and uneasy. And so there we were, two young girls just trying to have a night out. I get my phone out, and I am just taking pictures all over the place. What you're looking at is some of the woods at the actual site. We didn't go into where the crash site was. This was from the road, me flashing pictures. So then what I decided to do was, one of the things Joe told me when I first started this was, don't look at what is in the picture when you take it. Give it a couple days and then look at it and see what you find. Well, look what I found. Every circle you see there is something that I found. Well, the funny part about it is that everything that I circled was some sort of an animal. And, you know, I had capuchin monkeys in there. I had crocodiles, wolves. I had, I don't even know what else I had in there. I had, you name it, I found birds. I had wolves. I had mountain lions. I was like, oh my God, they're there. They're there. So one day, him and I go to Wayside Inn to review the evidence. And I'm all excited, and I'm just like, I can't wait to show him. I can't wait to show him. I have never seen him laugh so hard in his entire life. He was laughing so hard. He's like, what the heck is this? He's like, there is nothing there. He's like, there's not a square inch on that page that you didn't circle. So, needless to say, that was my introduction into becoming an investigator. An overzealous, excited investigator. The next picture is actually at the same exact location. It's the same night. And my friend and I, again, were standing on the highway. And what you're looking at is actually where the bottom of the mountain is. And she was on one side, I was on the other. And I happened to just kind of glance up and look, and it looked like I saw a white mist or something. So I just took a picture of it. I didn't know what I was seeing. And when I went back and I looked later, I noticed that what I actually captured, if you look, is a woman's head, a dress. It looks almost like a woman in a wedding dress. And then this blob, I have no idea what it is anymore. I think I thought it was some sort of an animal, probably. Oh, that was the other thing. Now I'm like the circle queen. Because everything that I see, I circle. So that was my first introduction into becoming an investigator and learning what to look for, how to actually take pictures, how to debunk things, and how to make sense of what it is you're actually seeing. Because a lot of times, with your naked eye,
you're not going to see this stuff. You're going to discount it. If you have a gut feeling that you're seeing something, take a picture of it. It's not going to hurt for you to go back to your phone and be like, okay, it was nothing. But more than not, you're going to capture something just like I did.
You can square it. You can triangle it. Do whatever you want. Circles are mine. They're taken.
Enter. So this one gets a little bit more serious. This one deals with a little bit of a dark side of investigating Shenandoah Valley. This is in a piece of private property that I can't disclose the location of because I made a promise to the owner, and you always abide by your promises when you're investigating. If you want any type of good reputation, let's just put it that way. This is in a house that I was instantly drawn to. It's on a private piece of property. One of the employees of the property always got a really bad feeling when they drove past this cluster of houses. There were three houses, one limestone house, one wood lath house, and there was also a slave house on the property. And they were all three grouped together. As soon as I pulled up to the property, I was drawn to this one house that this picture was taken in. So we've got to go in there. Definitely have to go in there. So to explain that a little bit, what you're looking at here is it's broad daylight outside. This is a picture that was taken with a flash of a window that I was drawn to. So when I took it, there's a whole window pane missing here, and there's a round circle pane missing, a piece of the glass missing there. It was black out behind it. I said, well, maybe the flash is washing something out. So I turned my flash off and I took this picture. It's going to wash out a little bit because of the dark background. You can clearly see that it's daylight outside with the flash off. But you can also see the circle is still black. The missing window pane is still black. There were protections put in place in that house many, many years ago when it was built. When we went into the cellar of the house, on the foundation support of the house was carved a Solomon's knot when the house was built. Now, Solomon's knot is used as one of the strongest wards against demon and possessive activity. Later on, we went down into the cellar and I found that Solomon's knot. We were down in the cellar, another total non-believer. He looked at me and he said, did you really just tell me that? And I said, I didn't tell you anything. And he said, so you didn't just tell me to get the F out of here? I'm like, no. And that's all it took. Never saw somebody run so fast in my life. Bolted, left me standing there in the cellar of this place. So that's a little bit of a darker side. You really have to do your protections when you go investigating. Whatever higher power you believe in, put those protections in place. Pray to them. Do your protections. Smudge afterwards if you believe in smudging. Use your sage. I like to ground. I like to just wipe it off. Wipe it off. In your mind, you're wiping it off. You're standing on a piece of native ground, not cement, not gravel, dirt, grass preferably, and you return that energies back to the earth, get rid of them. Lay your ground rules, keep your protections up, because there are things out there that could possibly harm. So, this is where I'm going to open it up to the audience, because I always love to hear personal experiences from the audience. Is there anybody out there that would like to share one of their personal experiences? Or your interest? Okay. Did you have anybody in to help you with that? Okay. Okay. Great. Anybody else? Sure. Go right ahead. Okay. And that's really cool. A really good picture. Yeah. Yeah. If y'all know who Mike is, he actually runs the place here. He's a great guy. Ask him to show you the picture of the lady sitting in front of the door of the roundhouse that he got in broad daylight. It's on the video?
Right, and then you'll see it, the circle around her.
Perfect. Yes. Yeah, in the white dress. Yeah. Oh, you do? Okay. It's amazing evidence. That just goes to prove you that you don't have to go out ghost hunting at night. The spirits are here with us all the time. Your best evidence are going to be random pictures caught on your cell phone is what I found. You can go out and spend thousands of dollars on equipment if you want, but you already have a good camera on your cell phone. Use that, snap random pictures. Again, generally, I don't review evidence when I take it because sometimes evidence has a tendency to show up the next day and you get more. I've reviewed some immediately after and then I went back and looked at it the next day and I saw something totally different in that picture. So that's a really fun thing to do is just use your cell phone. The reason that people believe that all the activity happens at night, there's a couple different theories of the witching hour at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock and the mocking of the Trinity at 3:33 a.m. There's a lot of different beliefs. There's a lot of different truths in that. I don't discount anybody's beliefs or their truths. But my theory on that is during the day, your mind is racing 1,000 miles a minute. You're worried about going to the grocery store, picking the kids up, getting your job done, getting the report done, getting the annual summaries done, all that. When you go home and you're starting to relax, your mind is calming down. You're more susceptible to things happening to you, and you're paying a little more attention, and you're a little more open because your mind is relaxing. During the day, we have a tendency to shut that out and focus on everyday life things. So that's why I believe, because I've gotten evidence on Antietam battlefield of a Civil War soldier standing under an oak tree in the middle of the day. So they're there all the time. Treat them with respect. They are not your enemies. Don't be nasty to them. We're nasty to each other enough. We don't need to be nasty to a spirit. You know, treat them with respect. Talk to them like you would talk to your own brother, your own sister, mother, father. They appreciate that. Provoking makes them angry, and you get what you deserve when you provoke, as far as I'm concerned. We get more evidence in my group by being lighthearted, joking around, laughing, and having fun. They're drawn to life. And that's life, and it's fun. So, you know, just little tips and going forward with your investigating. Evelyn, did you want to share something? No? The experience that we had your first time with us? Anything you want to add? You don't have to. I'm calling you out. I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah. If you want to share, you can. If you don't, it's fine. Yeah? I love the unexplained things. Those are the little magical moments. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do we have any questions out there that you'd like to ask me while I'm up here? Well, I'm going to give a shout out at this time. If you haven't stopped by their booth already, please do. I love these girls. They're my twisted sisters. They're from Twisted Realm, and they have a booth right over near mine. Stop by there. They're great people. They're great evidence. They got great videos. They're great to work with. Love you guys. And thank you very much, Roundhouse, for hosting us. This is a cute little meme. If you want to figure out what type of paranormal team you're on, come up here and you can pick yours out.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you, all of you, enjoyed that panel episode. If you have any questions, comments, remarks, feel free to message the show, and I'll be more than happy to try and pass along those questions, comments, and other to them. And you could do so by, one, emailing the show, which is always the easiest thing to do. And our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And you, if not, if you're on Facebook a lot, you could also message the show. We'll get it and answer it as soon as we can. And that's by going to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, and message the show. And there's also a button there to email the show. And while you're there, click that like button and follow us. We try to, as much as we can, post something daily, whether it's show-related or geek-related in some way. You could also interact with us on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is Long Coat Mafia. Our Instagram handle as well is Long Coat Mafia. And what else? We do have a YouTube page. Excuse me. And our Instagram handle is Long Coat Mafia. I should say our YouTube page. We don't have a formal YouTube type address, which would be if it's someone like the Joe Rogan Experience or Matt Pat or Markiplier. It's not YouTube / JRE or Matt Pat or Film Theory or Markiplier or PewDiePie or something like that. It's just a bunch of numbers and letters for now because we don't have that many subscribers. But you could still search for us, and the page will come up by searching Long Coat Mafia. The link to it is in the show description. You can follow it that way and click that subscribe button. We do post videos there. Let me just say this about our videos. There will be YouTube exclusive videos, and there will be Facebook.com / The Long Coat Mafia podcast exclusive videos at the same time. Meaning, even though I might put share videos on both, but if I feel that if the video is going to run way too long, I'll strictly post it on YouTube, and therefore it'll be a YouTube exclusive. Or if I get a video and there's too much music in the background that I feel that YouTube is going to flag it or there'll be issues on YouTube, I'll keep it strictly as a Facebook exclusive. So it might be best to follow us both on, follow the show on both Facebook and YouTube. That way you're up to date on content. And if you're on mobile, remember there is a Facebook and a YouTube app. And we can, our shows now are also available on YouTube. So if you tend to watch YouTube on your TV, you're able to listen to us that way. But as per listening to our shows, I think we are available on like the Kindle, not Kindle, on Alexa, and maybe like one of the Google Home devices through Podbean. But as per listening to us on your desktop or laptop, we are available on iTunes. If that's your preference, we are available on Stitcher Radio, and we are available on Spotify, as well as our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and there you can listen to all our episodes from our current episode, which will be this one, all going all the way back to our beta episodes that we did like 3 years ago, going on, I should say 3.5 years ago, or at least seems like that soon. But that's that. You could go there and download all those episodes and listen to them on your leisure. But if you're kind of an iTunes user, I strongly suggest bookmarking our website, because iTunes tends to be very, very finicky, at least for me lately, because I've tried to download a lot of independent podcasts to listen to them, and iTunes has been like, no. So I don't know if that is the aspect of our computer being so old, but more on that in a minute. But I recommend going to our website if needed, and at least bookmarking it. If you're mobile, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or Google Play Podcasts, whichever is still available for all of you. We are available through the Stitcher Radio app, the Spotify app, and as well as the Podbean app, as well as a few other podcasting capturing apps or playing apps that are out there. And I do recommend, again, once again, I recommend that you get the Podbean app just in case either Google Play or Apple Podcasts decides to say no. So that way you at least have a better way of capturing our episodes and listening to us. And it's free, which is good for all of you. You don't have to spend any money on the Podbean app. Registration is free, and getting our episodes and subscribing is free. So, one small little note, I may be starting a GoFundMe soon. Whether or not it's in within the next couple of days or so, because I run this show under the fact that I am living underneath the poverty line, and my laptop is starting to go, and I use it all the time in regards to recording, posting show stuff, and everything else. And the GoFundMe will help. The funds that I raise through GoFundMe will help me pay for a brand new computer. And for full disclosure, as I said in a recent video, what I get, my initial rate amount that I'm looking at to raise is maybe about $1,500. And yes, I know decent computers are about, or at least decent sized computers that have decent storage and rendering and all that might be between $500 to $700. The remaining amount will go towards like cameras for the show, better cameras than something that's Vivitar, maybe an actual GoPro camera as well. So it's in essence to get better stuff for the use of the show. And anything beyond that, I don't know. I'll have to consult. I'll consult with all of you. Meaning, if let's say I raise $2,000, everything beyond that, I will be more than happy to consult with all of you listeners out there and all of those who donated funds to the show and see what they would like me to get. And as for disclosure, when I get the new equipment, there will be unboxing videos so you could actually see that I've gotten a new computer, I've gotten a new camera, I've gotten an actual GoPro, and everything like that. And if you're wondering how would I do so, I do have a cell phone that takes pretty decent video for what it's worth. So that's kind of the disclosure. And if anything, once I get these items in, I will be more than happy to post receipts and everything else to prove to all of you that the money is going where I intend for it to go. And everything beyond that, again, we'll see. Who knows? I might actually donate, if there's any extra funding, a large amount, I might donate it to charity. We'll see. We'll discuss that when things actually happen. So, till then, take care. Hope all of you have a safe, I won't say holiday weekend because it is Labor Day, but I hope all of you have a safe and fun weekend and rest of the week. And then I'll speak to you guys this upcoming weekend. And again, I hope you enjoyed this panel episode.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.